Welcome to the Gooder Podcast, where we talk with powerhouse women in CPG about their journeys to success. This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a brand development firm guiding mission-driven consumer brands to attract new and passionate consumer base, crush their categories through growth and innovation, and magnify their social and environmental impact. If your brand is in need of brand positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we are here to help. You can find more information at www.retail-voodoo.com.
Hi, Diana Frike here. I am the host of the Gooder Podcast, where I get to talk with powerhouse women in the food, beverage, and wellness categories about their journeys to success and their insights on the industry. This episode is brought to you by Retail Voodoo. Retail Voodoo is a brand development firm. Our clients include Starbucks, Kind, RAI, PepsiCo, Hi-Ki, and many other market leaders. We provide strategic brand and design services for brands in the food, wellness, and beverage industries. So if your goal is to crush your competition by driving growth and disrupting the marketplace with new and innovative ideas, give us a call and let's talk. You can find out more at retail-voodoo.com. Okay, today I get to introduce Dr. Angela Zhang, who is the founder and owner of Carviva, a wellness beverage brand. Dr. Zhang, I'm going to call you Angela. Angela has over 17 years of experience within the functional beverage and juice industry. Her passion for natural healing is rooted in her strong belief in traditional Chinese medicine and herbal sciences. Angela's heritage in and passion for Eastern medicine, combined with her education and experience in modern medical research, motivated her to create something new for consumers that we are going to learn more about today. Well, welcome, Angela. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Dan. Really appreciate this opportunity.
I always
enjoy your podcast and the blog articles I receive every week. You know, sometimes I would read them in my bed. I always learn a few things, you know, but it's like, it's a fun reading. It's not like one of those readings which will put you into sleep, you know.
Well, you are a learner. I think you are a learner.
I love to learn. I'm a lifelong student.
Yes. Where are you today?
I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. The heartland. Yeah, mm-hmm. Midwest.
And now, we originally met on a BevNet related event. Has it been 2 years now, or has it just been a year? I can't remember.
Great question.
I think it might be 2 years now.
Yeah, maybe. I think the COVID kind of
wiped
out our track with time.
Yeah, I think you're I think you're right. My last 2 years seem to be a blur. Well, that was a fun experience. And I know that we have many, many connections out in the industry, and your name comes up quite frequently, pretty well respected, particularly in the functional beverages. So it's really fun to hear people go, "Have you met Angela Zhang yet?" And I'll say, as a matter of fact, I have. So that's been fun.
Thank you. Yeah. It's always nice to hear that. One thing I was told is our name travels much farther than we would. And it's exactly right. So think twice what kind of, you know, actions you want to take, what legacy you want to leave, right?
Yes, for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about your brand. I always like it when a founder owner especially gets to tell us, you know, all the fun parts of their brand. So tell us, what is Carviva and what does it stand for?
Yeah, great question. So Carviva, this is actually the new name of the brand. It used to be Karuna. So Karuna is a real word. It's a word that means it comes from the ancient Indian kind of, it's kind of religion-ish, right? So it's one of the four foundation that Buddhists would practice. It basically means compassion. And the rationale behind it is, without compassion, one would never have happiness, internal peace. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, yeah. If you look at the world we're in nowadays, compassion is one thing we're lacking. I mean, unfortunately, we can spend another hour to talk about it. The highly processed food has a big reason to do with it. Seriously, there are scientific proof that a region of our brain, unfortunately, got shut down. We're kind of surprised because processed food cause just information and other issues in those areas.
Yes.
And one of the consequences is, as a result, the modern human beings like to make decisions more like impulsive decisions or more like just add because I'm hungry now, I want to do something, instead of, you know, kind of calm down, think a little bit, and then take action. So, but, you know, the brand was under Corona for since 2017 when I started the line, and we started to roll out a new line of product that's the sports recovery juice under Carviva. The reason is people saying, you know, why you have two brand names? Back then, they, of course, I didn't tell them. The real reason was not because I don't like compassion anymore, because when you try to expand, I'm sure you know this better than I do, a consumer product like this, a nationwide, you don't want to infringe someone else's trademark, right? And Karuna is a real word. That means you cannot trademark a real word. It'll be nice to trademark a real word. It's mine. No, we can't do that. So just out of respect of the law, right, I had to basically come up with a new name. And Kaviva is a it's the word I made, right? So I can trademark that. Is Karuna plus Viva. So it's actually pretty in line with our philosophy. Karuna, compassion, it comes from Far East. Viva actually is an Italian word. So probably you have heard Viva Italy or whatever, means long life. Long life, you know, happiness, kind of positive, you know, things, vibes. So compassion leads long life. So that's
it.
Brand name. Yeah,
I love it.
So I kind of threw out the sports recovery juice brand under Kaviva. Just want to see how consumer will react this name. I think most people can pronounce that much better than Karuna because it's an Indian word. And I got questions from my Indian friends all the time. You know, is this your name, nickname? We just didn't know.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very popular ladies first.
Yes. I interviewed Karuna Rawal, actually, who is a CMO over at, what is the name of that company? In Chicago. It's Nature's Find. It's a mushroom brand, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll send you the link for that a little bit later. That's fascinating what they're doing with that. Basically mushrooms that they found growing within volcanoes that have these amazing health benefits to them. So I'll send that to you a little bit later, but let's talk a little bit more about you. So Karuna, Carviva, where did this product idea come from?
Yeah. So basically it's not just I'm sitting there in my kitchen and say, hey, I got this tasty remedy recipe, you know, I need to find a way to make money out of it. it's not like that. Nothing wrong with it. I know that could be the incentive.
Lots of people
many food and beverage entrepreneurs go for your dream if that's what you want. So for me, you know, my path wasn't even on, you know, making food or producing drinks. It was really, you know, in heavily rooted in medical research. You know, that was the reason I moved to this country back in 1996. I came here to this country to study my PhD in pathology at St. Louis University Medical School here. I spent 5 years there. My project was mainly focused on endothelial cells. So basically it's related with cardiovascular disease. I have my research grant from American Heart Association, fortunately. And then after that, I went to Northwestern Medical Center. I was a postdoc fellow there, again, study cancer cells, how they move, you know, at cellular level. So basically, it's fascinating studying them under the superpower microscopes, electronic microscopes, and treat them with different things and see what would they do inside their skeleton. So cells are like human, they also have their own skeleton system. Fascinating, right? But you know, that was my research topic, but I feel like deep inside, I'm always entrepreneur. I don't know, maybe my family gene, my father's family is all in business. He's an engineer, outlier. And my mom is pretty much the same. So I always wanted to do some business when I was a little. And the other thing is, I'm just like a deep believer. We're super passionate about traditional Chinese medicine. I mean, basically, what happened was when I was about 5 years old, my mom took me to this herbal shop just to get her herbal remedy prescription filled. It's like you go to Walgreens or CVS to get your doctor's prescription filled. Instead of, you know, putting the white pills in a bottle, I saw the herbal pharmacies, you know, pulling out those little tiny little jewels and use this very cute antique kind of scale, weighting them and put them like on five different bags, you know, kind of, you know, compel them together, and then just told my mom, go home, you know, boil them in water in this, you know, kind of special clay pot for 2 to 3 hours, condense them in like one, whatever, you know, certain kind of volume, and you just drink it, you know, and it sounds like magical. You know, you're supposed to feel better after 5 days. Okay, yes. Super. And I was like, all right, this is my toy.
Oh my goodness.
You know, back then I didn't have any, you know, that was in the old days in mainland China, there was no Barbie doll, nothing.
Oh, so that my was goodness. My
toy. That was my toy. I started to collect, you know, little herbs in the yard, climb up mountains, kind of just testing different things.
Really?
It was fascinating. I used myself as the guinea pig because of that. I went to work times. Seriously, don't try to overdose yourself, even with medicinal herbs. Some of them can be super strong. Seriously, my mom's like, don't you know, randomly put things together and drink.
Yeah,
you know?
That's not a good idea.
But because of that, you know, I collected many, many remedies, you know, not just, you know, self-learned, but I even used some of remedies, put them in my, you know, doesn't matter, the blood vessel cells, culture, or the cancer cells, just totally out of curiosity. Mm. I've never let my mentor or research the laboratory boss know. It's like, I'm testing secret herbal stuff on cell culture. But, you know, it's something I love to do. And after my postdoc fellowship, I come back to St. Louis. I was in Chicago. I come back to St. Louis. I went to Washington University in St. Louis for the MBA training. Crazy enough, right? Lifelong student.
I understand.
And after I graduate, my husband's like, you got to start work again. You know, you can't just be in school forever. I'm like, okay, I got it. I can't be in school forever. And I went to work at a pharmaceutical company in their business development and pipeline management division for quite a number of years. Through that, I was like, wow, we got so many products in the pipeline. I mean, pharmaceutical product treatment methods. But if you look at, you know, different disease, the incidence rate, the prevalence rate, you see this kind of, you know, like in cells, you love to see that, right?
Right.
I'm like, what is going on? We're supposed to treat people better, right? Mm. You would think people become healthier.
Right.
It's totally the opposite. There's something going on. And yeah, I'm just a person always curious about, you know, whenever I see this, I start to dig deeper into it. And I had a chance, again, you know, I'm a person just has a broad range of interests and also friends as well. I had a chance to help a Chinese family that my family knows to help them to take care of their apple juice concentrate business in the States, just help them a little bit because they want someone who is trustworthy. They don't want to trust, you know, right, anyone they hire. They just want. I was like, I don't even know I have time. So I helped them basically whenever I could. And I was like, oh my gosh, when I look at how the apple juice concentrate were used, I'm like, I got the answer. Because I already know processed like sugar, when we overconsume that, is so bad for us.
Yes.
So through the medical research, all those training I got. And I'm like, this is just wrong. And then I still remember when I saw the first line of cold pressed juice come out, I was like, hooray, you know, this is good, you know, much better, healthier, not so sugary. But one thing is, again, my curiosity, I started looking into how they produce that.
Yeah.
I think their initial incentive is great, is to provide a healthy alternatives compared to the traditional like apple juice or orange juice.
Yeah.
However, the way of production is so wasteful. The production yield is less than 30%. Again, because of my culture background, when I was in kindergarten, the kindergarten teacher won't allow any kids to leave the lunch table until you finish whatever in your bowl. Lunch box, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you threw away more than 70% of the fresh produce to do what? I'm like, do you make another product? Do you use it for? Best they could do is donate to some farms as animal feed.
Right.
Those actually went to the landfill.
Really?
And when those food waste is actually the number it's the third factor causing pollution, methane pollution in the air. So I'm like, this is so wrong. Can we just improve the process, right? You want to have a healthy product? Hooray, we can do it. But can we make the process better? That's why I started to get curious. I started to, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I know so many remedies, the different, like, especially using food to improve health.
Yeah.
Food recipes, drinks recipes. Can I commercialize them, finding a way to produce them that's much more efficient naturally, mm-hmm. and then make consumer can easily, you know, access them? Because basically one thing I think, which when we chatted a little bit, it is true, you know, lots of food makers don't want to just pack, you know, whole food.
Right.
And then sell them because where is, when you're in business, you always ask, where is the value added steps?
Right.
What have you done to add value to your final product?
Right.
Okay. So, well, if I'm just packing them, it's not fancy enough, not exciting enough for investors. Then, you know, if I do 10 steps of chemical process thing, it becomes super scientific. And then, you know, I can apply, you know, IP protection on them.
Exactly.
And charge a premium. That becomes almost like making a branded drug now, right? So, again, you know, but it's not good for our health. It's not good for our health. It's not good for our human health. Not good for the planet health. So I'm like, but there has to be a way. What would consumer want instead of just simply packing whole food into a box or into your bottle?
Right.
Well, how about I source the ingredient has proven health benefits, both from users for a few hundred years, as well as backed by research. Because in research, I learned there are actually lots of study, not clinical study, to show why, you know, like eating, consuming more green vegetables or blueberries is good for you. I can pinpoint to the molecular level. There's a reason behind it, scientific speaking. So can I source them from different places and put them into a simple recipe? And then I don't have to use the kitchen sink approach. It's instead synergy, because they are food synergy among different food groups.
Yes.
Basically, it's a mindful production, it's a mindful formulation. That's why I started the line. Initially, my incentive was really simple. It's something healthy, something that's more efficient, you know, efficiently, eco-friendly produced.
Yeah.
Because I just hate wasting. That's it. I mean, to me, wasting is a sin. It can potentially bring me to hell. That's what I was told when I was little. Sorry.
But no, that's okay. That's the same in my household.
I told my kids not to waste paper because I was like, why would I waste paper? That's like cutting tree for no reason.
Yes.
But it's the same. It's the same thing. You know, if you can't eat it, then don't take it. I mean, simple. Yeah. So
exactly.
Anyway. So that's the reason behind Carbiva line. The fundamental philosophy never changed. We changed the package. We changed, you know, even the brand name now. But the foundation, the philosophy, never changed.
That's awesome. So such an interesting background, because you know, I think a lot of people, particularly in the United States, my parents are immigrants, and growing up, it was very much ingrained into us around waste. Eating food close to its natural state was pretty much what we did. Being a kid in the 70s and 80s, our family was the weirdo because we didn't eat bologna and Wonder Bread with mayonnaise sandwiches. And now, you know, because that was the thing. We ate rye bread made out of an oven and Whole Foods and all that sort of thing. So very, very interesting to kind of remind people that it really wasn't that long ago, frankly. You know, CPG started really ramping up in the 60s and 50s and 60s post-war.
Yes.
But prior to that, we were eating a lot of these Whole Foods. We weren't wasting a lot. And it's really tricky being in the CPG industry because on one hand, you have to grow your business, which means selling more. On the other hand, where how much more becomes just wasteful, and it's so hard, that tension there, right? It's very hard.
It is. There's always intrinsic conflict there.
Yeah.
I mean, when you grow nationwide, one issue I cannot avoid is you start to have more carbon footprint emission,
right?
Because your transportation,
right,
you know, just goes beyond, you know, even regional level. On the other side, you know, you also have to think about, I think it's a balance, you know, if I do this, can I do something else to offset
that
negative consequences I bring?
Right.
But, you know, if you only thinking about business as how I improve the profit line, nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Public trade company, that's their top number one priority. However, you may fall into the old pattern. You will never jump out the box and think differently because, well, that's the proven track, you know, record I should follow. If I do this, therefore, you know, I will see my dollars improved by 10%, right?
Yeah.
They always say, what is your ROI? What is your expect? Mm-hmm. Hey, how do you do a forecast? Ideally, someone else already done that.
You and me, sister, I'm the same boat. Yes. Somebody else has got to have done it for me.
You know, maybe it's risky. Maybe 90% chance it won't work. It's like, 90% chance won't work. But if 10% chance work, you may be great. Who is willing to take that 10% or even less than 10% for a small group of people? But we need those people to make the whole thing better.
Absolutely.
It is true. So I would say this industry is still still very traditionally run.
Yeah.
Compared to high tech.
Yeah.
Or even the medical field, right? But on the other side, I do see that because of consumer people's, you know, desire to have healthier food, food that's better for everyone, for the planet, I see more small brand jumping to the water and start to, you know, try to find different ways.
Yeah.
And that's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say that this is, you were so kind and you sent me a sample set of products. And I've got this one here, this immunity one. I really like the flavor. I drank all of the ones for those of you that listen on a regular basis would not be surprised. There's a version that has a wine flavor influence to it. And I think I got two or three of those. Those are all gone. So I'm now moving on to the next flavor. And this one is, you wouldn't even guess with how the, just the, it's got this prebiotic fiber and antioxidants. And quite frankly, the sugar content is pretty low. It's pretty great. I mean, considering, you know, the fact that it is a fruit based.
Yep. Again, I think one thing you just mentioned about fruits, I personally love fruits. I love vegetables. Mm-hmm. I'm not a vegan per se. Mm-hmm. I'm mainly plant-based, but I do eat some animal, you know, whole food. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing about the recent trend about low carbs make lots of consumers scared or they kind of misunderstood what exactly the low carb diet means. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you should totally deprive yourself from food contain carbohydrate.
Right.
Because vegetables contains lots of carbohydrate, fruits contains lots of carbohydrate, fiber is a type of carbohydrate. And then the natural sugar bonded in those fruits are very different than processed sugar.
Right.
So what happened is because they are bonded, they're kind of trapped because the sugar, natural sugar, glucose, fructose are trapped in, you know, kind of mesh of matrix, like those are the natural fibers, different mm-hmm. kind of things, you know, macromolecules. It takes your body much longer time to digest that instead of if you just use cane sugar, put it in your water or coffee, it's very different.
Interesting.
It's very different. So deprive yourself from carb. I always mention to my friends, don't do the low carb diet because the keto diet was developed in the medical field for epilepsy patients that had no other medical treatment way to improve their symptoms. And a physician actually back in the 70s tried a keto kind of high fat diet and saw some improvements and become one of the alternative treatment methods for epilepsy patients. But again, our body, especially our heart cells, brain cells, are built to burn glucose. So when you deprive your body from those, there are some consequences. I mean, you can try that for a week or two just to see how your body reacts out of curiosity, but not for the long run.
Yeah.
The other thing about complex carbs, it's so rich in beans, legumes, whole grains. It contains lots of natural vitamins, minerals, in addition to fibers. And, fibers, we have fibers, it's just a lonesome group of many, many different molecules.
Mm-hmm.
Prebiotics are one grouping in those. Prebiotic essential for our life.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So that's the reason I focus on prebiotic. For me, again, I want to do something. It's almost like initiate a spark of fire so other people can see it.
Yeah.
I was hoping people would copy me. And I'm glad there are more and more prebiotic drinks and food out there because it's one important nutrient that has been neglected for so long in the consumer field.
Yeah.
And it's causing so much health problems.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, so when you first started this brand, or it might be even more recent than just the beginning, how did you know you were headed in the right direction?
By talking to and listening to the people I serve.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what I learned. Of course, experts like you, I enjoy talking because I'm not saying the VC folks are bad or I have a particular issue with them. But, you know, their incentive is very different. I mean, they can be consumers too, right? I love everyone to become consumers of healthy food and drinks. However, it's not about talking to those folks and say, hey, am I on the right track?
Right.
It's talking to the average people I serve. Mm-hmm. I want my product to be used and see a difference of their day-to-day life. So when I first started the 2 years, I lost count how many in-store sampling people joke about you're eager to sell a product. Yes, I'm eager to sell a product. Of course, I want to.
Of course, you are.
But on the other side, every conversation I had there was basically a data point of my own market research. Is I basically asked them what frustrates you, you know, when you pick food. You know, depends on the person, I have a standard of questions I mm-hmm. ask. I want to collect certain kind of info, and that info can change depends on the stage mm-hmm. of my business. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure what I'm doing is in line with what they want.
Gotcha.
And, you know, if I'm doing something they don't want, why should they pay for my product?
Exactly.
And like I get free samples of skincare or whatever. Mm-hmm. I throw them away. I'm like, I don't care if it is free or not free.
Right.
Is that something I need? Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, is I think when you roll out a product, it's not because so-and-so make tons of money out of it. That's not your reason, because so-and-so make tons of money mm-hmm. by doing a sparkling functional drink. That doesn't mean you're going to do a sparkling functional drink and you're going to make tons of money.
Right.
That's totally different. Unfortunately, yes. People always like to do that. Oh, because someone else did it. Therefore, I have this better remedy. Everyone yes. thinks they have the best recipe. Just like we're moms, right? We always think we have the best kids in best the block. Kids.
No, but I really do have the best kids. So.
I know, me too, right? The moms... whatever.
Oh my goodness.
To keep our days going, right?
We need this. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, you know, I'm curious what it's like for you in maneuvering kind of a younger growing brand within the beverage industry. The industry itself is pretty homogenous, still kind of male dominated for the most part. And I'm curious how it's been navigating. Are you able to find people opening doors for you? Are you finding mentors through this process, or has it been a little bit more of a slog?
Great question. Lots of challenges along the way, but I think I was blessed to have people, and most of them I know, turning to friends, like someone like you, who is willing to share their wisdom with me. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, I mean, I love to hear criticism, because that's the things to keep me, you know, kind of improve myself, keep me going. Mm-hmm. I don't view them as unnecessary negative things mm-hmm. that upsets me. But on the other side, like you said, it's industry. What I learned, very hard to differentiate your brand and your products, because there are not many things you can do, right? Mm-hmm. All the low hanging fruits are gone. Mm-hmm. But again, life is never easy. Like as a mom, right? I always tell my kids, life is not easy. You always want, you know, oh, if I do a little bit of this, therefore I'm going to get out. I'm sorry. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, don't wish.
But on the other side, that doesn't mean things cannot be done. Again, you know, you have to listen to the people, the consumer you serve, right? Understand who are you serving is the number one thing. You're not serving everyone. We cannot serve everyone. So it's okay when you started a line of product with a very niche target, you know, groups, but listen to them carefully. What they want, what frustrates them, what they're happy with, products they're already purchasing, what they are not happy that they are willing to see, you know, a new product come out. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you know, that's how you find differentiation that matters. You don't want to do differentiation that doesn't matter, right? And then the other thing is you mentioned about this industry has still heavily managed and driven by, well, it is too. And that's not even, I will say that's pretty common across many other industry, mm-hmm. but in this industry in particular, I find very interesting is I can give you an example, right? We are certified women owned, also minority owned. Mm-hmm. Those certification can serve both ways.
Yeah.
Depends on the buyer you talk to.
Yes.
Let me give you one example. You know, also my business is also certified by the, you know, as Asian American, you know, kind of minority group owned. Mm-hmm. a buyer A may say, wonderful, I need to diversify my product offering for my shoppers. I'm going to give you a try, or I will consider at least, you know, set up a call, try your samples. Some buyer will say, oh, well, that means are you serving the Asian shoppers only?
Oh, really?
It's almost like a glass of water. Someone would view it half glass full. Not like that directly.
Right.
But you can feel that's pretty much, you will be pigeonholed because you are a women business owner. So, you know, that happens in politics too, right? Politics, large corporations, people would think women has a scattered mind. We like to think many things, and we sometimes can be a little bit emotional. That is definitely pigeonhole stereotypes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then supposed to be like making firm decision, good decision, because they are pressured to do so. Women can be pressured to make many decisions too, but we do have to consider many things. You know, we do consider I would say the emotional intelligence is probably, you know, for most women business owners, much higher than the male owner, right? Because, you know, something is not about how much you pay the staff to keep them stay and work as a team. It's how they feel.
Yeah.
It's how they feel working for this brand.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's through constant education and then finding the buyers or give them the pitch. You have to try everything. You know, it doesn't matter. You can say, well, sorry, you guys, your corporate head asked you to have a diversified program. You have to consider a women-owned brand, or you have to consider a minority-owned brand, right? Can you give it a try? Or, I mean, you just have to find all kinds of way. But the real statistic data, I don't know about a consumer product. There are several data I saw in the past. One was in the past when I was in business school, and that picture hasn't changed, is 95% of the business VC investors. I'm not saying VC only in food and beverage, across all the industry, 95% are white males. They would invest in white male business startups versus female or minority.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatic. That data is just shocking because, you know why? They say it's a human almost like a psychology, because all those business or whatever, they're run by those type of people, and they have more confidence or trust of someone look like them, think like them, grow up in similar culture background like them to run a business. It is true.
Well,
but, you know, obviously, if you look at the business success rate or startup rates, I will say more than half of the business in the States are started by women. However, we contribute less than 10% of the sales overall.
Oh.
I mean, that's just a huge, I mean, you can say, I mean, it's probably because most of the women-owned businesses are very small, right? Small, maybe you can say like a flower shop or hair salon, a little restaurant, cafe, a business, but, you know, owned by a woman, whatever. But, but you know, obviously compared to Fortune 500 large company, you know, how many CEOs are female?
Yeah.
You can count them with your fingers. So. So I think that's why. But again, is the stereotype. It's just like, you know, in school, lots of girls feel like, oh, I'm afraid of math. No, you should not be afraid of math. You can do exceptional well in math. Have confidence in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel like math is not for girls.
Yeah, I think a little bit that, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I feel like there's some training going on. When I look at the younger generations, I think there's a blending. I think the stereotypes are starting to go away.
Yes.
And a lot of what we feel has been trained into us culturally through education and just through being in business. I'm hoping I'm really hoping, I'm looking at my kids who are neat, fit, all fit neatly in Gen Z. I see a different language and a different way of relating with other humans than I've seen in all of us previous generations, millennials.
You said it so well. I can see, I mean, what my the topics my kids are learning in school,
yeah,
make them a very becomes a thinker that really consider other people's feelings, yeah. And also really, you know, diversified culture background. I mean, people always say, well, because lots of corporations are doing that just because it looks good on paper. Again, yeah. Whether it looks good on paper or yeah. Indeed it adds benefits. I can tell you, indeed, it adds benefits. Because think about yep. the culture we're in now these days.
Yeah.
It's very multi-phase. You yeah. know, people, we are a society of freedom. That means people have should supposed to have the freedom
yeah.
to worship whatever different religion they believe, whatever the culture or the music or arts they love. And supposed to start a business they want.
Yeah.
But if you're very uniform, you're actually surprising all those. Mm. That's what happened. I don't mean to criticize the communist system. That's exactly if you study the Chinese history.
Mm-hmm.
Why the period that has the most innovation, flourished period, was many, many, gosh, sadly, thousands of years ago. Because the society was very open, embrace different
yeah.
groups, different yep. like, you know, yep. should not say minority, but in certain way.
Yeah.
And then once that power becomes centralized by a king, emperor,
mm-hmm.
they start to surprise everyone that doesn't think, that didn't think like them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you should only listen to me. I'm the one, I'm the God telling you
yes.
what to
do. Yes.
And that's the problem with communist system too. It kills productivity, it kills innovation. I'm not saying kill productivity can be yeah. super high, innovation super low, because people are afraid.
Yeah.
If you're doing something different, you're like, I'm killing you.
Oh my gosh.
You could initiate a whatever rebellions against
a rebellion
against yeah. the mainstream. So what is your definition of mainstream? I mean, same thing with food. We always say eat a rainbow color mm-hmm. of food in your mm-hmm. place. Because our body, and people don't think, you know, why we need different color of food? Simple, because you want to feed the probiotics, those little good bacteria,
yeah.
you know, even virus, you know, can say the in a certain way, they are like little creature living inside our body. They're good ones, you know. Yeah. Good ones means they produce all those cellular signals that actually go to our brain and tell us what to do, what to think, you know, how to think, you know, those kind of things. And when, but they are so diversified, it's not about only 10 strains of probiotic. Those are the ones heavily studied. When mm-hmm. you see those supplements,
right,
there's so many of them in our body. Yeah. They each have their own patterns in terms of the food they want. They all want fibers, though. Remember yeah. that. That's why it's called prebiotic. And then prebiotic plus probiotic becomes postbiotic. Because people say, what is postbiotic? It's like group of the metabolite side products generated by those good bacteria.
Mm.
It serves as messengers. It helps our body to function normally.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, when you are very, like for kids, very picky eater, you know, we try to encourage them, don't be picky eater, and there's a good reason for it.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Same
thing with
sense.
The culture. You don't want just hear the one voice. Is it becomes extremely dangerous in the long run. In the short yeah. run, you may see some benefits because yeah. you say something, I always say yes, yes, yes. You have lots of yes men around yes. you.
Oh my gosh. Well, that is a whole other, you and I will have to start our own podcast to talk about that.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes. This is awesome. Now, I'm wondering, we had this really fascinating dialogue before we started recording about this concept of plant-based diet versus veganism and animal protein analogs, and how it's impacted American diets, kind of not in the way that we've kind of been led to believe. And it's kind of in along the line of this probiotic, prebiotic, and now this postbiotic that I've never heard of before. So that's right. I'll have to investigate that. Can you just, I don't know if you can just kind of give us your high level on this concept of, you know, what have we done with food by coming up with these food kind of diets or diet plans, and then turning the CPG industry so focused on them? Like, what are we doing to the American diet or to the world diet by thinking vegan or plant-based is going to be the only way to live our lives?
Well, that topic, it deserves a whole section to talk about it, because the consequences is huge. Mm-hmm. The consequences not just means you and me's health, right? Yeah. Every consumer's health. And mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, what you put, you know, what we put in our body mm-hmm. has the biggest impact on our health.
Yeah.
On how we feel, on our emotions yeah. as well. Well, it also has a huge consequences on the environment. Mm-hmm. And even on certain kind of social disability, or I mean social stability, you know, kind of I would say, okay. you know, because you don't, again, same thing, you don't want to have only one voice in a society.
Yeah.
And this society becomes, you know, might be very stable for a very short time,
yeah.
but then the under pressure is going to grow and it's going to explode, and then you have this chaotic social
yeah.
kind of all the things, you know, like mm-hmm. kind of we're in this period, I would say it kind of now, because I don't know what to say, because, you know, the kind of shift of different minority groups, the percentage and the yeah. culture, different cultural voice, it is true. It's very natural that what we see nowadays, but on the other side, I always say, why you want to be a vegan? First ask yourself. My friends always say, are you vegan? I'm saying I'm not. But even then, why you do plant-based? I'm saying I emphasize on whole plant-based, because
yeah.
whatever Mother Nature gives us, okay, I do personally, I do believe there's superpower in the universe.
Mm.
You can say, you know, for someone that's Jesus, for someone is another God, but
Buddha,
yes, I mean, yes, because there's so many things in the research or in the lab I couldn't explain, and there are lots of top scientists would believe that too. I don't know, I mean, that's again totally different topic. But again, whatever Mother Nature gave us, that's the superpower. We need to respect that. Don't think our human being a God, we're recreating the food Mother Nature already gave us. Mm-hmm. We should utilize the gifts from Mother Nature, utilize it wisely, efficiently. That's all. Don't overtouch it. The more hands we put on, the more human processed step goes on, we actually introduce more harms, not just to our body, but also to mm-hmm. the nature around us.
Mm-hmm,
so same thing apply to not just apply to animal based food, like how we treat animals, how we farm yeah. grow those animals. It's same thing, you know, whether we should do man-made meat. Again, man-made meat is the same as man-made food, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same like lentils, right? Lentils yeah. is a beautiful, healthy legumes that if you talk to any medical doctors who believe nutrition has an impact on your health mm-hmm. would agree, would encourage you to eat it. But on the other side, you know, you see lots of lentil chips. If you look at the ingredient, only a very small portion probably come from lentils, and yeah. then the other probably fillers. So that's again becomes a very heavily processed. It's a vegan food, but is that healthy for you? Is that good for the environment? You need to put a question mark there.
Yeah.
I would always encourage, look at the real research data, not just Google say because someone said that
yeah.
or a celebrity said that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, celebrities, they are great. They look awesome, but have they done real research work? Probably not. So I would say again, if you choose to be a vegan for the health reason, then choose whole plant-based food. You know, so either means you have to be really careful choosing the food that has minimal process, or you just have to be, you know, hard work, you know, kind of do lots of cooking yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it is true. I mean, is but or you can just be smart and you choose the right food from the store, and you know, you can still be a healthy vegan. On the other side, if you want to be a vegan out of the respect of animal rights or save the environment, I have tons of respect to those, my friends, you know, and I personally love animals. One of the reasons I left research is I was getting a little bit just too much for me to handle using the animals to do experiments. And so I would say again, you know, but when you do this, do you, what's your way to convince the message? Is not to do the damage or force your friends to convert to vegan, because what you believe, again, is you need to, for everyone's needs is different. You may have friends who wants, you know, who don't want to have heart disease because they have the family history.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to develop diabetes because they see their relatives or their parents have that issue.
Yeah.
Or Alzheimer's or dementia becomes super common nowadays, mainly due to food. Again, then you can convince them by that approach, you know, or you basically, you know, for your animal love of, you know, we want to kill less animal, is consume less meat. Very simple. That's it. If you look at the statistic data, how many turkey got raised and killed just for the Thanksgiving dinner, you'll be mind, like I couldn't even believe the data when my kids was doing that kind of fun fact for Thanksgiving many years ago. I was like, geez, so many turkey got raised and killed and then threw into the trash.
Yeah.
And again, food wasting. I mean, because we want to commercialize everything. We want to make money, right? We want to make money. We overproduce them. And then it doesn't matter. I mean, we only have so many mouths. We can only eat so many turkey. I mean, gosh, you know, it doesn't matter, Thanksgiving or not. And you cannot store them forever. They're big too. You know, we're trash. It is sad. I mean, if we can be very mindful in terms of how we produce things, how we formulate things, we can actually solve many farm animals may not necessarily need to be produced. It's not the more the better. If you don't need to eat the whole chicken, don't eat the whole chicken.
Yes. Agreed.
I think that's the key. It's not just to say, I'm going to force you to switch from a meat lover to a vegan.
Yes.
It's not going to work. For most people, that's not going to work. There has to be a strategy behind. And I think produce the fake meat, I mean, the initial kind of, I would say, rationale behind it is good.
Yes.
However, you know, now becomes a process that's very, I would say, just use a lot of, again, you know, kind of the food science, kind of the traditional food science things. Now in the games again, that means heavily processed, lots of chemicals, because you want it make it taste and look like a meat. I'm sorry, plant-based food will never look and taste like a meat, because just like soy milk, our traditional soy milk would never taste like a milk.
Yes.
It's different. It's not.
It's different. It should be different.
Yes.
I mean, for me, I feel like I'm okay with it being different. I understand the rationale. Yeah. Like if you make it look and taste and smell and like real meat, then you can.
But that's not the reason for you to eat it, right?
The reason
you want to go vegan or plant-based because for your own health and food environment, then forget about it. Food has to look and taste like a meat.
I think part of that is they're wanting to encourage people who are currently not eating a heavily plant-based diet to go that route. But it feels, I don't know, it's a little tricky for me. It's a little bait and switchy. And you can't, how processed can these isolates get before they're not even a functional for the body? You know, they just become something that goes through the system.
Yeah. Again, the problem with processed food, people always say processed food is bad. Most people would agree nowadays.
Yeah.
The reason is it's the same thing. It causes the same immune reaction our body would respond to COVID.
Oh, really?
Is inflammation. Mm. I mean, acute inflammation in COVID is you feel sick right away.
Yeah.
After you get contract with the virus.
Yeah.
Here is different. You're putting in those chemicals in your body every day. Well, even though it may be small dose, over time it will build up. Your bodies constantly have this baseline inflammation.
Gotcha.
So that's why over the long time we have diabetes, we have obesity is also a disease. It's actually a type of cancer now these days. You know, certain physicians would say
it's
because the fat cells, when they overgrow, it's like cancer cells keep proliferating and then they start to release. That's the why they were studying, you know, the obese patient have more severe reaction to COVID because those cells release those things that cause your body not reacting well.
Yeah,
it's sad, but it is what it is. So I would say less processed the food you put in your body, the better. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the industry, like you said, they want to do something to justify why I want to charge this kind of price, why I'm selling it, right? Because nobody just wants to sell a bunch of, you know, like lentils or beans, you know, whatever.
Well, and I'll be honest, I like myself a Cheeto. I eat organic food. I eat close to the original food state, but I got to have myself a Cheeto every once in a while.
What is also,
it might be the death of me, but I love it.
Emotion. Exactly. Yeah, it's a balance. Life is a balance. So you cannot deprive yourself from everything you love, right?
Yes.
But on the other side, you cannot be over kind of indulge, like, you know, again, candies, right? I mean, when I was little, I loved candies, but we couldn't get candies every day.
Right. It's probably good.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Angela, I am so enjoying our conversation. Our time is wrapping up. So I want to ask you a couple of last questions that I like to ask everybody. And you've given us so much information. The first one that I like to ask is there kind of like I call it a happy hour fact or a tidbit, something that people can know about? Like, I don't know, that postbiotic, like what is a postbiotic and why should we care about it? Maybe that's what we should, you can tell us.
That's a great question. Great question. You are way ahead of the wave now, curve now, right? Maybe someone listen to that and say, in the R&D, oh, that would be my new project. Postbiotic is basically, I have to say, you know, think about food. Food is, again, gifts from Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we feel healthy, we feel good after eating, is how our body react to the food you put in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just food itself, it's the interaction between your body and the food. So what happened is the postbiotic, it basically is the product after probiotic interact or feed on prebiotic. So like I already said, prebiotic is a group of fibers that they serve as the only food source for probiotics. So the probiotic is like us, they need to eat. Those bacteria need to eat. What do they eat? They eat certain type of fibers.
Mm.
That's their food that our human cell cannot utilize.
Right.
But that's their food. They love it. They are like, every time when you feed yourself with like lots of fruits and vegetables, they say, hooray, you know, I have a big face now. And then what they do is when they chew those, the metabolite product they release because like us, we poop, right? They also poop inside you, but their poops are good for us. Think about this way. It's messengers. Short-chain fatty acids are one of their products.
Oh.
And that's essential for many cellular function.
Mm.
It can balance our hormone. It can impact our mood. It can basically balance your insulin level. You know, it does many things. For certain cell function, we cannot function without those short-chain fatty acids. The other thing is, certain kind of vitamins, our body won't be able to produce or absorb only after the probiotic digests the food they love. So you absolutely need that. Then you will say, how about the bad bacteria? The bad bacteria love processed food. On the other hand, they like sugar, for example. Yeah. And when they release the product, unfortunately, when they release whatever you nasty words, right? They are harming your body. Mm. They're not doing your favor. They cause more food craving because they're smart. They're telling you, oh, those are the food I like. Go, go get another soda. Go get another big burger for me. Go get another, you know, whatever, the deep fried or whatever things, you know, chicken or whatever.
Yes.
So that's the postbiotic. It's the product that
interesting.
Prebiotic or the stuff they like, they release these things which are essential for our physiological function.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Postbiotics, everybody go check it out. All right. Now, I always like to know, are there any other women leaders or rising stars out there in our industry or not that you would like to elevate or simply just give them a shout out for the work that they're doing right now?
Oh, gosh, I would say there should be many. I think there are many food and beverage product line initially started by women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, locally, I know a couple, you know, I think one of them are doing like a elderberry based product.
Ooh.
Another one, they're probably still, you know, local.
Yeah.
The other one is a vegan cheese maker, a couple of, you know, friends, female, you know, ladies. Mm-hmm. And then nationwide, there's so many. I mean, it's just amazed me that I'm super encouraged. I think we need more women going into the food and beverage business, healthy food and beverage business, consumer product business. Because think about who does lots of purchase in grocery store.
Right, right.
Moms and, you know.
Yes, a lot.
And then even
lot,
sometimes
mostly moms. Send
your husband into the store, they have a shopping list based on what you tell them, right?
Yes.
And we care about our families a lot, you know, care about our kids and we care about their health. One day I saw a little kid, I love it. He was wearing this t-shirt saying, if you love me, don't feed me junk food. I'm like, hooray, where did you get that t-shirt?
That's awesome. I love it.
If you love me, don't feed my
t-shirt. You might need to make that t-shirt.
I know. We all need that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we have been talking with Angela Zhang, founder and owner of Carviva. Angela, where can people learn more about you and your company?
Our website, carviva.com, super easy, K-A-R-V-I-V-A.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time, Angela, and I'm happy to once again spend some more time with you. I always enjoy our chats, and now other people can hear us and how we banter about pretty fun. And I want to thank all of you listeners for your time today. If you really like this episode, please share it with a friend. Otherwise, have a great rest of your day and we'll catch you next time on the Gooder Podcast.
Thank you again, Dan, for the opportunity. I'm so enjoying my conversation with you. It's like chatting with an old friend.
Oh,
seriously.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to click subscribe and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder. We'll be right back.